This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Gloria, we're really on a run now. Running for the Stanley Cup, yeah. We gotta get it somehow. We're never gonna slow down, because we're not gonna blow.
Welcome back. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Martin Kilcoyne, nice covering a celebration last night where our sport coats and shirts didn't get drenched. I like the way hockey does it.
Yeah, I'm wondering, and I've never covered a Stanley Cup championship, are all bets off at that point? Is the champagne, I guess that's when it flies, right? Even in the NHL rule, yeah. World?
You know, in fact, I even was double checking Mike. There's no I called texting Mike Caruso, and he gave me this real sarcastic text. Of course there isn't. I said, "Well, sorry, I haven't covered any here in my 26 years."
Okay? Correct.
A little smart aleck.
Yeah, it's the same answer I gave him when the Stanley Cup was in town a few weeks ago. He said, "Don't bring that anywhere near our building," and I said, "It hasn't been a problem yet."
Well, one man who's been a part of some great Blues moments. In fact, he was the author of probably the most famous moment of all time, the Monday Night Miracle. Let's take a listen.
Badurko steals the puck from Reinhardt. Over to Hunter, who shoots block. Wickenheiser scores! Doug Wickenheiser! The Blues pull it off, and it's unbelievable!
And he joins us now, Ken Wilson. Ken, welcome to the program. How are you, sir?
Guys, I couldn't be better, and it's nice of you to remember me as I remember that game 6 in 1986 with Calgary at the old building. What a game.
And Ken, I'm wondering the excitement of that game, but then not being able to take it the next level. We've talked a lot in St. Louis about it being like the Pujols home run in 2005 off Brad Lidge was dramatic and game-altering, but then they lost the next game, so it's taken away from the lore. How tough was that game 7 in Calgary?
Well, it wasn't that much fun. It was great getting there, and the anticipation was tremendous. But as I recall the game, it was, I wouldn't say over early, but it wasn't exactly a cliffhanger. So there was a lot of disappointment. But, again, I think as we've had to do so many times with the Blues, you have to look at what was accomplished rather than what wasn't. And, that happens. But now it's a whole new world and a whole new opportunity.
Ken, tell our listening audience where you are right now in your life, and have you been paying attention a little bit to the St. Louis Blues during this run?
I do pay attention. I don't watch or listen to every game, but I did see a Blues game this year. I was in Montreal and saw the Blues play at Montreal, and they lost in the last few minutes of that game, and they did not play very well. In fact, they were not good at all. And I thought, well, this is going to be a long, long season. But that was in October. So I follow it. I basically look at every game and realize, okay, they're playing tonight. The next morning, at least, I'll look at the score. And when they changed coaches and went to Craig Berube, I said, well, let's see what happens, because sometimes that'll work. And obviously it did, and the club was able to materialize. And I pay close attention and enjoy doing that, and always look at the NHL standings every day and really only care about the Blues. But I've been in Portland the last 11 years, Portland, Oregon, and moved actually on May 1st back, if you will, to Hawaii. And that's where I am this morning, living in Hawaii with my wife. And it's interesting because I hate to say this because it makes me feel like I'm 100 years old, but I first came to Hawaii 50 years ago this spring out of the University of Michigan, and have lived here 11 years in all, and obviously I like Hawaii, and that's where I am. Right now, as they say in the entertainment business, I'm between engagements. And probably getting engagements at the stage I'm at is not as easy as as one would like. I think I'm going to have to tell people I'm probably not good for 20 or 30 years, but how many people do you hire that stay in the job more than 10 years anyway? So that's the update.
Ken, you had a great run broadcasting and a lot of big moments. We all remember Pete Rose, you were on the call. I think the Tommy Herr seat cushion day you were there. You started in Hawaii, around the country calling big games. But I'm just wondering for you, that connection that you had with Blues fans, does that remain your favorite memory of the broadcasting career?
Well, that was, you can talk about the individual games, and you're right, the Pete Rose game, the Monday Night Miracle. you remember those, but you know, you do it for so long, and there's only really four or five of those. You know, a lot of people say, what are your baseball memories? I say, well, the Pete Rose hit. I had George Brett's 3,000th. I had Gaylord Perry's 300th. I was lucky enough to broadcast three perfect games, two other no-hitters. I mean, there's only 10 of those big events. So 20 years with the St. Louis Blues stands out among everything else that has happened. And I loved living in St. Louis, but the connection with the fans was always great. I've always thought the Blues fans were absolutely sensational, a bit in the shadow of Cardinals fans, but many of the Blues fans are Cardinals fans, you know, just great sports fans in St. Louis. And they always supported me, and it always made me feel just absolutely fantastic. So, you know, that's really the connection. And I've never done, you know, like I've done the Seattle Mariners 8 years and other things, but nothing matches the 20 years with the St. Louis Blues.
And after the Wickenheiser moment, this may be number two on your list, Pierre Turgeon against Phoenix in 1999.
Knocked away by Javi Bulin as Hanzus is taken down. Young centers, Pearson, the shot, he scores! Oh, baby, bring on Brett Hull and the Dallas Stars! Rekar Pearson wins it! It may have been deflected, but the Blues have the victory.
I'm getting chills just listening to that. How do you remember that moment?
Well, I remember it was the goal to the right. It was in the small America West Arena in downtown Phoenix. And, you know, those moments are unbelievable. And when you listen back and you hear Rekar Pearson, you go, who? And, you know, and I remember Rekar. He was a blonde. He was a, you know, a fairly big guy, played left defense. And I can see him taking the shot right now. But those moments to remember are fun, as I say often about things. You can't take it away. It happened a long time ago, but it's still a great memory, and it lives with you forever.
And any reminder that, you know, sports isn't fair. I was thinking it's rarely fair, but last night I was thinking this city, this franchise, this fan base, they deserve that. And, again, it doesn't always work out that way. You hear about the Cubs waiting 100 years, 100-plus years. But if you look back and think, whether it was Brett Hull and Gretzky for a minute and Al MacInnis and Chris Pronger. I mean, this franchise has been loaded with great players and great teams. I guess the idea would be that at some point they'd break through, yet this year's team is a really good team, obviously, but it doesn't have that necessarily that same star power. It's kind of crazy how it works out when you think of all the great ones who have been here.
Sometimes the team is a team, and you know it can be a blue-collar workman-like team. That goes a long way. I mean, if you look at the history of the Blues and you go to 68, 69, 70, which was totally different because they added six new teams, and the Blues lost three times in the finals. In 70, of course, the last time, 4-0 to Boston, ironically. And you look at the rest of the time, 72, lost in the semis to Boston, 4-0. Then 86, we talked about that, lost the seventh game in Calgary. 01, we lost the conference finals to Colorado, 4-1. And then in 16, of course, to San Jose, lost in the conference finals. So there haven't been all that many times where the Blues have knocked on the door, so to speak. And, you know, so the moment is special no matter what kind of team it is. It's a Brett Hull team or a Bernie Federko team or whatever kind of team it is. You'll always remember that was the year they got to the finals, and I think we all hope that we all remember that 2019 is the year the Blues win the Stanley Cup finally. And you know, is there more of a team sport than hockey? I mean, it is. That's what it's all about, and it'll be a team that will be remembered no matter what happens here in the Stanley Cup Finals. But, of course, the goal is to do better than just be remembered.
I know with the Hawaii time zone, it's difficult, but do you think Ken Wilson will be staying up late and watching every one of these games now?
It works the other way. It'll be in the afternoon
early. That's
for
right.
me.
Oh, that's perfect.
Oh, life in Hawaii, guys, is not that bad. Everybody's asleep, and I can be having pizza and a beer at dinner time.
How about, Frank, how about just hearing the voice? Doesn't it just conjure up memory? It's unbelievable, Ken. Your voice sounds exactly the same. And since you mentioned Hawaii early on, were you paired with Al Michaels? Were you guys there at the same time?
I was. My first season of baseball was 1970. And Al Michaels and I did the Hawaii Islanders in the AAA Pacific Coast League that season. And it was one of the greatest baseball teams I was ever with because they went to the Pacific Coast League Championship Series. The late Chuck Tanner was the manager. And they played Spokane, which was the Dodgers farm team, and Tommy Lasorda was the manager. And so we had a best-of-seven series in Honolulu and Spokane, and Al and I did those games. And it was it's probably more impressive today than it was to me at the time, because again, that was nearly 50 years ago, and I'm not sure I realized quite what it was all about. But that's the only time I've ever been with a baseball team that won a championship. And again, it was the first of many, many, many seasons broadcasting baseball. But yeah, Al and I did work together. He did all right after that, by the way.
and still going.
Yeah.
Yeah, still going, which proves being a sportscaster in your 70s is not exactly the end of the world.
Frank Cusumano with Martin Kilcoin on the Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Ken, we are getting hit with a flood of text, everybody just remembering your great moments and how much they miss you as the Blues broadcaster. I'm wondering, even to this day, do you run into St. Louis fans at an airport or somebody says, oh, baby, to you?
Yeah, it happens, you know, not as often as it used to. Time tends to push down memories a little bit, but it does happen. I don't get to St. Louis that often, although I was there recently. I was there twice, I think, in this past summer. But there's that connection every once in a while. My daughter gets the connection. Believe it or not, she's was just finished her freshman year at Howard University in Washington, D.C., and she has the Oh Baby Blues jersey that I was given in my 20th season, which was my apparently turned out to be my farewell season. And she was telling me the other day that she went to and saw the St. Louis Cardinals play at Washington against the Nationals and wore her Blues jersey, and it says Oh Baby on the back. And 20 for the 20 years. And she said she ran into all sorts of people who were Blues fans. And she found, of course, you know, she's 19 years old, so she has no idea that, quote-unquote, she has a famous father. As I say, I'm famous only in Chesterfield and maybe Belleville.
Oh, they love you in Afton. So, you're big in Fenton. You're big in, let's Frank, keep going over, Lynn, Creepcourt. Yeah.
Anyway, there are those connections that still occur with the Blues.
And you probably told me or Frank at some point, oh, baby, you first uttered it when?
I would say, if you listen back, I would say in the mid-80s. I think there's some places where I uttered that. So it goes back pretty far.
And you also were at the mic when Brett Hall was becoming a superstar.
Yeah, that's kind of a connection. I mean, I certainly didn't call every goal that Brett Hall scored in the National Hockey League, but gosh darn, I called many of them. You know, we know that nobody called as many as I did. The irony is that he played his first game in the National Hockey League in the 1986 finals, Calgary, and I guess it was Montreal. But I called his first goal, and I didn't realize that until running across it somewhere, that he scored his first goal in the NHL finals as, you know, I don't know what he was, 19, 20 years old. And I was on that game on ESPN. So I called his first goal and many of the goals that he scored in his great career.
And I know you've been asked about it a lot, and I keep bringing it up, but around the house, does anything happen or in your world on a daily basis, a great meal arrives and you just give it a, oh, baby. Does it ever come out of your mouth anymore?
It happens once in a while, but not often. I think my wife would cringe. Enough is enough, Ken. Come on.
Ken, such an honor to have you on the program, and we're thinking about, you know, Blues greats from the past, either – in the front office or in the broadcast booth or players, and you were the first one we thought of. Thank you so much for being a part of the program, sir.
Hey, Frank and Martin, it's great. You know, I think of the fans, and I can't wait for that Stanley Cup to be pulled out to center ice and the Blues around it because, you know, so many players, so many front office people, coaches, broadcasters, but mainly the fans have worked so hard and pulled with their heart and soul for so long for it to happen. You know, I'll cry. You know, make no mistake. I mean, that's how much it means to everybody. So thanks for thinking of me, and I'll be watching and thinking of the Blues every game. Thanks.
Ken Wilson joining us on the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Boy,
got about him sent? Yeah, you can hear him choking up at the end there.
Kind of like Chase and Brett a little bit last night, too. I mean, just, it's powerful.
I saw Doug Armey crying, and I thought, I will never, now, I'm not saying he was weeping, but as that Campbell Trophy was wheeled out near the Zamboni when the game ended, he was standing there with Al MacInnis and Keith Tkachuk, and I looked over, and I said to myself, holy crap. Doug Armstrong has tears in his eyes. And I asked him about it later. He said, yeah, it was emotional. And you wouldn't picture that.
You don't think that. That was because he knows he's going to have to pay Berube $4 million.
That was Stillman who was crying.
And what's great is the alumni deserve, like, the attention because, you know, the Bobby Poggers, like, you realize how long they've waited, again, for this opportunity. But I think what was overshadowed was how great it is for Stillman and Armstrong. We talk about, you know, their heartbreaking defeats in playoffs in years past and how important that playoff revenue is, and to see a team like this come from, you know, the bottom of the barrel in January to go to the Cup final, your heart goes out because Doug Armstrong and Stillman are two of the nicest people on the planet, and they deserve it more just as much as anybody, especially the alumni. I mean, these guys are fantastic.
And Stillman has really been laying low, not wanting to talk too much. I think he's tried really hard to keep the focus on the players and on Army and on Berube.
So you're saying he's not Jerry Jones-like?
Right, he is not. Jerry Jones had a TV, maybe he still does, a TV and a radio show in Dallas.
Breaks it down
weekly.
After every game, Unbelievable. But what do you think the chances are of this happening? Hockey Bob texting in, I'm actually going to Maui mid-September. Would love to buy Oh Baby a beer.
Well,
what would you put the odds on of that?
100% Bob wants to.
100% Do we hook him? I got to say,
I'm not even sure what island he's on either.
Ken Wilson seems a little nostalgic. He might be up for a Hockey Bob visit until he actually meets him.
Let's do a scavenger hunt. Not reveal what island he lives on. Give him the ticket to Hawaii, and then it's a
see
hunt.
See if you can find him. Ken Wilson should be in Hawaii. I can picture him with the flowered shirt, having a drink with an umbrella in it, and telling old... God, the voice. Remember for years he did the Rascals commercials? And it was something like... 240 bats. 240 bats. And you would just hear his voice, and that was the end of the commercial.
All right. Let's take a short timeout. But before we go to break, quick word about our very good friends at the Gatesworth, the finest in senior living. If you're looking for a place for mom or dad, aunt or uncle, grandma or grandpa, we recommend the Gatesworth. Nobody does it better than the Gatesworth. 170 and Delmar, 1 McKnight Place is the location. And when you call down to the front desk, the answer is always yes. You talk about great service. That is the Gatesworth. And Dr. Michael Jones, Quantum Vision Centers, 866-260-EYES. Dr. Jones, longtime friend of the show, practices complete eye care in the metro area, from routine eye exams to LASIK, custom cataract surgery. Dr. Jones can get it done for you. Board certified in ophthalmology, assistant professor at SLU. Tell them I sent you. 866-260-EYES. We'll be right back.